Welcome to this eDiabetes Review podcast. I'm Bob Busker, managing editor of eDiabetes Review. Our guest today is Dr. Rupa Mehta, endocrinologist at the Instituto Nacional de Ciencias Médicas y Nutrición Salvador Zubrian in Mexico City. And our focus is on intensifying glycemic therapy with a fixed ratio basal insulin GLP-1 RA combination. eDiabetes Review is jointly presented by the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine and the Institute for Johns Hopkins Nursing. This program is supported by educational grants from Merck & Company, Incorporated, Novo Nordisk, and Sanofi. Learning objectives for this audio program include review the use of the GLP-1 RA as add-on or in a fixed ratio combination, or FRC, as an intensification strategy after basal insulin. Evaluate a GLP-1 RA as add-on or in an FRC in a patient with macrovascular and microvascular complications. And describe how a GLP-1 RA as add-on or in an FRC can reduce regimen complexity as well as hypoglycemia risk. Dr. Mehta has indicated that she has no financial interests or relationships with any commercial entity whose products or services are relevant to the content of her presentation. She has also indicated that there will be no reference to the unlabeled or unapproved uses of any drugs or products. Dr. Mehta, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
In your recent newsletter issue, Doctor, you presented some of the current research about intensifying therapy in patients who are no longer effectively controlled on basal insulin. Our objective today is to see how some of that new information can be applied to clinical situations. So if you would please, Dr. Mehta, start us out with a patient scenario.
Okay, great. Let me tell you about this 49-year-old lady with type 2 diabetes. She was diagnosed about 9 years ago and is presenting for routine follow-up in the outpatient's clinic. She's testing her glucose levels about twice daily and mentions morning readings from 110 to 130 milligrams per deciliter and non-fasting levels that are typically above 180. She reports that she has occasional hypoglycemia, generally if she skips a meal, but there is no history of severe hypoglycemia requiring outside assistance. She is frustrated with continued difficulty controlling her weight, but she does attempt to stick with a consistent number of carbohydrates per meal and tries to limit portion size. With regards to exercise, she says that she takes her dog out for a walk every day. She does not have any history of microvascular complications, and her current medication regimen consists of insulin glargine, 42 units per day, and metformin, 1 gram BD. On physical examination, she has a blood pressure of 132 over 80. Her body mass index is 32, but otherwise everything else is essentially normal. Her glycated hemoglobin is 8.1%.
How would you approach her glycemic management?
So she mentions her fasting plasma glucose levels were between 110 and 130 milligrams per deciliter. So that is generally where I would like most of my patients to be. She is on target. However, she is mentioning that her postprandial levels are a little bit high, around 180. They're not hugely high, but they are a little bit elevated. So we can say that her fasting plasma glucose is optimal, and that indicates that her basal insulin dose is probably adequate. The other aspect that she mentions is that she is getting hypoglycemic episodes, but when she skips meals, she's not really having any severe hypos, but we do need to interrogate her a little bit more closely and just assure ourselves that this really isn't a major problem. If we try to titrate up the basal insulin, we may end up provoking more hypoglycemias. And the fact that her fasting plasma glucose is on target seems to indicate that the basal insulin should probably not be touched in this patient and she can maintain that same dose. However, she does have an elevated glycated hemoglobin level. It's 8.1%. And the postprandial glucose levels, as I mentioned, are above 180. So we should really be addressing postprandial elevations here. Now, how can we really control postprandial hypoglycemia in this patient? We can add in prandial insulin. We can switch to a premix insulin or add in a GLP-1 receptor agonist. And that's what the latest ADA guidelines recommend.
So adding prandial insulin, switching to premixed insulin, or adding a GLP-1 receptor agonist, what determines that treatment decision?
We must always consider the full patient profile. So we need to look at all aspects of this patient. What she wants as well should be taken into account, and also what her concerns are. So she's already mentioned that she's concerned about weight gain. She's having hypoglycemias occasionally, and the glucose-lowering efficacy should also be an option here. Now, she's not controlled. She has an A1C level of 8.1%. Now, remember, if we add in more insulin, she may well gain more weight, and she's already complaining about that. So here again, this might not be the most desirable options. She already mentions these hypoglycemic episodes, and again, insulin may increase the risk of that. So in her case, the addition of a GLP-1 receptor agonist alone or switching over to a fixed ratio combination may well be the best option. And here, studies have shown that if we add in a GLP-1 receptor agonist, we will achieve similar glucose-lowering efficacy as the other two options. But the added advantages here is that we're not increasing the risk either of hypoglycemia or weight gain.
What are the differences among the GLP-1 receptor agonists?
Okay, so we really have several choices here. We have the once-weekly GLP-1 receptor agonists, and these include exenatide LAR, dulaglutide, and semaglutide. We also have once-daily ones, which include liraglutide and lixizenatide, and we have the short-acting GLP-1 receptor agonist, which is exenatide BID. Now, of course, this list will keep growing, but these are the basic GLP-1 classes, so to speak. When we consider the fixed ratio combinations, these are generally the combination of a long-acting insulin analog with a GLP-1 receptor agonist. So currently on the market, we have two combinations. We have the combination of degludec with liraglutide and glargine with lixizenatide. In these fixed ratio combinations, the long-acting insulin is combined with either the once-daily or weekly agent. And the advantages of having this fixed ratio combination is you may end up reducing injection burden. You may have the possibility of reducing insulin dosage. They may be better tolerated than the GLP-1 receptor agonist by itself. With regards to insurance, they have lower co-pays possibly because they're fixed ratio combinations and thus count as one drug. And also, if we are considering either adding in a GLP-1 receptor agonist by itself or switching over to a fixed ratio combination, we need to take into account the properties of the GLP-1 receptor agonist we're adding in. Remember, with the short-acting agents, they may have more side effects compared to the longer-acting agents. And remember as well, they may be more effective for postprandial hypoglycemia, whereas the longer-acting ones may be better to control fasting hypoglycemia. So all of this needs to be taken into account when we make the decision on how to intensify in this patient.
How would you implement intensifying therapy in this patient?
Okay, so we've decided that for her, a GLP-1 receptor agonist is probably the best option. Now, her fasting glucose is on target, so we'd maintain her on her basal insulin, but we may need to reduce the dose a little bit before initiating the GLP-1 receptor agonist. Remember, if we consider a once-weekly GLP-1 receptor agonist, we may have to wait for it to take effect. So a fixed ratio combination would probably be a good option here.
And your choice of agents?
We have the combination of degludec with liraglutide, and we have the combination of glargine with lixizenatide. So let me tell you how we would start these agents. With Idaglyra, we generally, because she's already on basal insulin, she's not insulin naive, you would probably start with 16 units of the agent. Now, 16 units is combined with 0.58 milligrams of the liraglutide component. If you're starting this agent in an insulin naive patient, remember you'd start off with 10 units, and here the liraglutide combination would include 0.36 milligrams. With this agent in the pen, the maximum dose we can get to is 50 units of degludec with 1.8 milligrams of liraglutide. How do we adjust the dose? We adjust the dose obviously based on self-measured blood glucose targets, similar to the way we would adjust the basal insulin. With regards to IGLA-ALXE, here the recommendations are slightly different. If the basal insulin dose is less than 30 units a day, we can start with 15 units of the combination therapy. If the basal insulin is greater than 30 units a day, you can start at 30 units and titrate up. And again, the minimum dose with this combination is 10 units, and the maximum dose is 60 units. And again, just like with the other fixed ratio combination, the adjustment is based on self-measured blood glucose levels, and you're basically adjusting 2 to 4 units in a weekly manner. Please remember that what you're really titrating up is the basal insulin. And because it's a fixed ratio combination, as a consequence of titrating up in a 0 to 2 unit manner, maybe every 3 to 4 days, you're also titrating up very gradually the GLP-1 receptor agonist as well. And this has to take into account, obviously, the characteristics of the basal insulin. And both degludec and glargine have longer half-lives than the typical human insulin.
Thank you for that case and discussion, Dr. Mehta. And we'll return in just a moment. This is Bob Busker, Managing Editor of eDiabetes Review. eDiabetes Review is a combination newsletter and podcast program delivered via email to subscribers. Newsletters are published every other month. Each issue reviews the current literature in areas of importance to clinicians treating patients with type 2 diabetes. In the month following each newsletter, a case-based podcast discussion, like the one you're listening to now, is available to help translate that new clinical information into practice. These podcasts are also available as downloadable transcripts. Subscription to eDiabetes Review is provided without charge or prerequisite. Continuing education credit for each newsletter and each podcast is provided by the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine and the Institute for Johns Hopkins Nursing. For more information on this educational activity, to subscribe and receive eDiabetes Review without charge, and to access back issues, please go to our website, www.ediabetesreview.org. Thank you. Welcome back to this eDiabetes Review podcast. We're here with Dr. Rupa Mehta from the Instituto Nacional de Ciencias Médicas y Nutrición Salvador Zubrian in Mexico City, and we've been discussing the clinical utility of fixed-ratio basal insulin GLP-1-RA combinations. So, to continue in that vein, Doctor, please bring us another patient scenario.
A 59-year-old man with a 12-year history of type 2 diabetes. He has coronary artery disease and has had 2 stents put in 2 years previously. He also has heart failure with New York Heart Association grade 1 categorization. He presents to the clinic because he's quite frustrated by his glycemic control. So he's been checking once or twice daily and just notes that the blood glucose levels are high, routinely above 200. He also complains of fatigue. He also says he's thirsty and he's going frequently to the bathroom. The current blood glucose-lowering medications include metformin, 1,000 milligrams twice daily, glimepiride, 2 milligrams once daily, dulaglutide once weekly, and on examination, he has a blood pressure of 140 over 90, a body mass index of 30. Peripheral vascular exam demonstrates weak pulses, venous stasis changes, and a stocking and glove peripheral sensory neuropathy. His current glycated hemoglobin is 10.2%, and the laboratory results show a creatinine of 1.6 milligrams per deciliter with microalbuminuria and an eGFR of 40 milliliters per minute.
What's your assessment of this patient?
So this case is a little bit more complex compared to the last patient. We have a history of 12 years of type 2 diabetes, but he now has macrovascular and microvascular complications. He mentions coronary artery disease and heart failure, and also he has peripheral neuropathy, and he also has some degree of renal impairment. So in this patient, it's really important to have individualized glycemic targets. So maybe the target for the A1C here would be around 7.5 to 8%. Now, we need to look into the renal function here as well. Now, he's taking metformin. He may well be fine with the current dose for a little bit longer, but take into account that below a GFR of 30, metformin may not be the best option. Because he's a patient at high cardiovascular risk, one of the agents that has shown great benefit in this category of patient are the SGLT2 inhibitors. So empagliflozin could be an option in this patient, but again, below a GFR of 30, it may not be effective with regards to glycemic control. The other aspect is considering a GLP-1 receptor agonist. Now, certain GLP-1 receptor agonists have shown cardiovascular benefit, but again, we must take into account as well the renal function here. One of the most pressing concerns in this patient is that he is very uncontrolled. He actually has symptoms of hyperglycemia. He mentions polyuria, polydipsia, and levels above 200. So in my opinion, in this patient, adding in insulin is probably the best option. And generally, a basal insulin would be preferred.
Can you walk us through your recommended treatment plan?
So we'd start off with a basal insulin. And the way to start off, you could either start off with 10 units daily or 0.2 units per kilogram. We should probably consider stopping the sulfonylurea or at least reducing the dose in order to minimize the risk of hyperglycemia. Remember, this is a high cardiovascular risk patient. We really don't want to be provoking hypos. The GLP-1 receptor agonist should be continued. And further along the line, we may consider, once glucose levels are better controlled on basal insulin, we may consider switching over to a fixed ratio combination. In particular, with Idaglyra, the liraglutide component may give us certain cardiovascular benefits.
With this treatment plan, what would you expect to see in terms of A1C, in terms of weight, in terms of hypoglycemia?
Initially, I would titrate up the basal insulin to get the patient controlled. And obviously, that would lower the glycated hemoglobin, but it would not provoke weight loss, and I would have to be careful that I'm not provoking hypos. But once I get the glucose levels a little bit lower, I could then consider switching the patient over to a fixed ratio combination. And one of the reasons to do that would obviously be that I would maintain efficacy. So remember, the combination therapy would be more effective in reducing glycated hemoglobin than each of the individual components by themselves. Hypoglycemia would be expected to increase if we just added in insulin. So the fact that we add in the fixed ratio combination, I'd probably be reducing the risk of hypos. And again, if we are just using insulin by itself, weight gain is a concern, but adding in the fixed ratio combination, we may be limiting this weight gain. And again, like I mentioned, reducing the risk of hypos and possibly the dosage of the basal insulin needed to control this guy.
Thank you for that case and discussion, Dr. Mehta. Let me ask you now to bring us one more patient scenario, if you would, please.
Okay, so the final patient is a 76-year-old man with a 14-year history of type 2 diabetes. And he comes along to the office with his daughter. He's been recently widowed, and it was his wife who formally performed the injections of his insulin therapy. The daughter is obviously concerned with her father's ability to self-manage his diabetes, and he is currently living alone. He does bring along glucose logs, but you can see that the checking is sporadic. He reports waking up in the middle of the night with sweating and confusion. He says at least 3 times per week. He keeps glucose tablets by his bed, and he mentions a fall 2 weeks ago requiring stitches. His current regimen is glargine 20 units daily. He also has short-acting insulin Lispro, 5 units with each meal, plus a correction dose of 1 unit per 50 milligram per deciliter over 150 milligrams per deciliter. But this Lispro he tends to take sporadically, and he does not tolerate metformin. On physical examination, he's alert and orientated, blood pressure 128 over 64, body mass index 28. His weight has been stable in the last year. He has a glycated hemoglobin of 6.5%, and his renal function is normal.
What do you see as the most important priorities in managing this patient?
This is an elderly man. He lives by himself. I think there are 2 main concerns here. One concern is safety. Now, there does appear to be a hypoglycemia risk here. He may well also be eating less. His wife has recently died, and she seemed to be his main support. So he's not really managing his self-care at all. So hypoglycemia is a risk, as well as falls. He's had one in the last 2 weeks requiring stitches. So I think that is what I would be most concerned about. And the other aspect, which I find so surprising in this case, is that he seems to be on a full basal bolus regimen. In an elderly patient, what we really want to do is simplify the treatment. We don't want to complicate their lives any more than we need to. So when I initially assessed this patient, obviously exploring all these safety concerns, but I would also be asking him very particular questions to assess cognitive function. A mini mental examination would be necessary here. And also to look into his mental health status. He may well be extremely depressed, and this could be the reason why sometimes he doesn't inject, or maybe sometimes he doesn't even eat. So the best option for this case to address at least the hypoglycemia risk in particular is probably to suspend the prandial insulin doses. He has a glycated hemoglobin of 6.5%, which I think is a very strict target in this patient. So removing the Lispro and maybe adjusting the basal insulin further would be necessary.
What about simplifying his regimen? How would you go about that in practice?
Well, I've already mentioned that we need to stop the prandial insulin. So the Lispro would be removed. And with regards to adjusting the basal insulin, I'd probably begin by reducing the dose by at least 20%. I would be educating the patient so that he would be recognizing some of these episodes he's having as hypos and keep a log so that I could then be able to further reduce the basal insulin dose if necessary. Again, reinforcing that he eats his meal and reinforcing that he should at least maintain his treatment. Now, in order to simplify the regimen further, here a fixed ratio combination of a basal insulin with a GLP-1 receptor agonist would have a place. And this would also help maybe that the daughter could come home in the evening and inject her father, making it much easier for him in the sense of he wouldn't have to be so concerned about managing his medication. However, before considering a fixed ratio combination, we do need to educate the patient and the daughter about possible GI side effects related to the GLP-1 receptor agonist component, and obviously give them advice on how to manage this.
Thank you, Dr. Mehta, for today's cases and discussion. Let's wrap things up now by reviewing what we've talked about today in light of our learning objectives. So to begin, our first objective, using a GLP-1 RA as add-on or in a fixed ratio combination as an intensification strategy after basal insulin. Doctor?
When you have a patient in who the fasting plasma glucose levels are on control, but the A1C is elevated, you need to consider intensification. We've got three options, and in many cases, and in particular the case we talked about, the GLP-1 receptor agonist is preferred due to the lower risk of hypos, less weight gain, and the possibility of reducing the basal insulin dose. But I think it is important to say that this may not be the best option in all cases. Cases that may have very high insulin doses. Remember, the fixed ratio combinations have an upper limit. Renal function needs to be taken into account. It may not be the best option in patients who are very uncontrolled, where maybe just adding in more insulin would be the best option. And obviously, with the fixed ratio combination, education is extremely important, both for the patient and, of course, the physicians.
And our second learning objective, a GLP-1 RA is add-on or in a fixed ratio combination in a patient with macrovascular and or microvascular complications.
The second patient had both microvascular and macrovascular complications and had quite a severe degree of hypoglycemia. So in this case, I think the best option is initiating basal insulin. And when we initiate basal insulin, we must remember there are three steps in this process. It's initiation, optimization, and then intensification in the future. How do we initiate basal insulin? 10 units or 0.2 units per kilogram, and you titrate based on 2 to 3 fasting finger prick measurements a week. Now, I did mention that maybe once we had the patient a bit better controlled on their basal insulin, a fixed ratio combination could be considered, possibly the combination of degludec with liraglutide, because liraglutide has shown cardiovascular benefits in a recent study. The other GLP-1 receptor agonist that has shown cardiovascular benefit is semaglutide, and this could also be an option.
And finally, how a GLP-1 RA as add-on or in a fixed ratio combination can reduce regimen complexity as well as hypoglycemia risk. Doctor?
So in our final patient, an elderly patient who was having hypoglycemic episodes, falls, and had a very complex insulin regimen. One of the most important aspects is simplifying the regimen and reducing this hypo risk. We discussed removing the prandial insulin doses and reducing the basal insulin, and we could consider switching this patient over to a fixed ratio combination to reduce injection burden to once daily and also in that way tackle both the fasting and the prandial glycemic excursions. So a fixed ratio combination could be possible in this patient, but on the other hand, he may just well need his basal insulin. So again, assessing each patient in an individualized manner is extremely important.
Dr. Rupa Mehta from the Instituto Nacional de Ciencias Médicas y Nutrición Salvador Zubrian in Mexico City, thank you for participating in this eDiabetes Review podcast.
Thank you very much again for having me, and I really hope that the discussion of these cases has helped people understand better when to use GLP-1 receptor agonists or the fixed ratio combinations. Thank you very much.
To receive CME credit for this activity, please take the post-test at www.ediabetesreview.org. This podcast is presented in conjunction with the eDiabetes Review newsletter, a peer-reviewed literature review certified for CME CE credit, emailed monthly to clinicians treating patients with type 2 diabetes. This activity has been planned and implemented in accordance with the accreditation requirements and policies of the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education, ACCME, through the joint providership of the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine and the Institute for Johns Hopkins Nursing. The Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine is accredited by the ACCME to provide continuing education for physicians. The Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine designates this enduring material for a maximum of 0.5 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. Physicians should claim only the credit commensurate with the extent of their participation in this activity. The Institute for Johns Hopkins Nursing is accredited as a provider of continuing nursing education by the American Nurses Credentialing Center's Commission on Accreditation. For nurses, this 0.5 contact hour educational activity is provided by the Institute for Johns Hopkins Nursing. Each podcast carries a maximum of 0.5 contact hour. This educational resource is provided without charge, but registration is required. To register to receive eDiabetes via email, please go to our website, www.ediabetesreview.org. The opinions and recommendations expressed by faculty and other experts whose input is included in this program are their own. This enduring material is produced for educational purposes only. Use of the names of the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine and the Institute for Johns Hopkins Nursing implies review of educational format, design, and approach. Please review the complete prescribing information for specific drugs, combinations of drugs, or use of medical equipment, including indication, contraindications, warnings, and adverse effects before administering therapy to patients. eDiabetes Review is supported by educational grants from Merck & Company, Incorporated, Novo Nordisk, and Sanofi. This program is copyright with all rights reserved by the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine.